Next on BYUSN Cougar football, sitting at 6-0. Some pundits have BYU pegged as a potential college football playoff team. Are we all buying that? I go one-on-one with BYU safety Tanner Wall. He discusses his first career interception and previews what's to be worried about in the Oklahoma State game.
David Nixon's in the house to get defensive. What does the Cougar defense do best, and what's sustainable so far? And Top 5 Tuesday features the five best plays for the BYU defense this season. There have been a plenty.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, October 15th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is learning about ranch and farm etiquette, Jerem Jordan.
I watched Tommy Boy. I know they did some cow tipping in that, right, back in the day. La, 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 Luke. But Mike Gundy can be pretty interesting when there's a microphone and a crowd put in front of him. And yesterday said the following.
Well, I had a little run-in with my cattle over the weekend. And I guess they've been watching us play and got headbutted. So I've got a bad eye that I didn't think would be particularly enjoyable for people when they were looking at my pretty face.
One, what? I hope Mike
what?
Is okay.
Yeah, well, audio only, by the way, right? Because he's dealing with the eye.
So he's got, are we going to see Mike Gundy show up with just a shiner on Friday night?
They've been watching us play.
Is
That's
he in concussion
funny.
Protocol? No, his wit is always on
self-deprecation
point.
Humor, I really respect. So that's funny. So let's see what Mike Gundy's looking like and feeling come Friday.
One of the longest tenured coaches in all of college football. It feels like he's been at Oklahoma State forever, just like Kyle Whittingham at Utah.
I think it's Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, number one. And then I think Mike Gundy and Kyle Whittingham are
yes.
tied at number two.
Crazy.
Wild.
So two of them in
tenured.
The Big 12. But can't wait to see Mike Gundy's pretty face on Friday night.
He's 40 years old. He's a man.
He's a man.
How old is
he? That was 07, I believe, when he said that. When he
so
gave
he's
the
57.
Infamous quote.
Yeah.
57 years young. On that note, yeehaw! All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I know what these guys are capable of doing because I know the character that's in.
They were picked to finish at the bottom of the Big 12 standings. Different story.
A chance to beat everybody on their schedule. And the expectations for the fans are a great sign that this team has given them reasons to believe in
them. 6-0 BYU. Now preparing for a Friday night light showdown at Lavelle Edwards Stadium with the aforementioned Oklahoma State Cowboys. The Cougars jumped up one spot in the latest AP poll to number 13. The national media is more and more, and in large part, starting to buy the Cougars as being a real contender, as a Big 12 championship may actually become a thing. Today, we're going to go ahead and play buy, sell, or hold with a number of statements that focus on some of those, as you view it, blue-goggled statements. Again, most are from the national media. Let's start here. ESPN's FPI currently predicts BYU will now win 9.8 games. Round up, Jerem. Do that BYU math that you excelled in.
I didn't take a math class at BYU, so I don't know,
I know.
How to do that.
Are you buying, selling, or holding that BYU will now win, if we round up, 10 games?
By the way, the money used in this buy, sell, or hold provided by the Royal Blue Collective. We appreciate it. I say buy. I think 10-2 is absolutely possible. Like you mentioned, FPI has leaned up to 9.8 wins. What game can't BYU win in the back six that you feel like, no, it's not happening? It feels like 4-2 is absolutely possible. I put out a poll yesterday. What would BYU's record be in the final six regular season games? The leader in the clubhouse was 4-2, Spence, at 43%. Next was 5-1 at 33%. 6-0 was 21%. And then 3.4% was from Utah fans saying 3-3 or worse. Kelly Ford's numbers have the Cougars, by the way, with a 7-2 conference record. With the best chance there. It drops down to 29% for 8-1. So he's thinking 4-2 is probably
sure.
what BYU's doing as well.
And he said as much on our show a week
yes.
and a half ago.
Yes. I'm absolutely buying 10 wins. Obviously hoping for more, but I'm buying 10.
Yes. What has BYU done in six games? And if you dive deep into the statistics and Kelly Ford's metrics and ESPN's football power index, if you look at Pro Football Focus, what have they shown us that would make us believe that all of a sudden they're going to lose three of the last six games?
If they stop creating turnovers at the same rate, perhaps. but they have yet to
Why should
show
we
us
believe that,
that
all of a sudden will stop doing that,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, I believe they will continue to force at least a turnover game. Right now, they're two-ish turnovers
BYU
a game
is
created.
Also taking care of the ball. Jake Retzloff has gotten a lot better at that after
almost a pick and
some
it was
struggles in a few of those early games. But so BYU taking care of the ball, BYU's defense taking it away. Just looking at the logistics and the statistics through six games, I am 100% buy on this. I believe what BYU is telling me they are, which is a really good football team led by an outstanding defense and an offense that is seemingly getting a little bit better each week.
Yeah.
I like that trend. Yeah. So because of those trends, man, I cannot buy this fast enough. Where do I need to put my Jolly Ranchers? Okay, I'm all in with all of my Jolly Ranchers.
It's a good reference,
right?
Given the audience here.
Yes. In fact, let's roll out our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
How about this for a metric, Jerem? BYU's remaining conference opponents are a combined 5 wins, 13 losses in the Big 12 so far this season.
That doth stinketh to me. Those teams have not performed up to the standard. Like, UCF, not as good as we thought. Utah, not as good as we thought. Oklahoma State, not as good as we
Kansas,
thought.
Kansas, not nearly
as good,
as
we thought. Arizona, way better than everyone thought. Houston, probably on par with what people thought. They're the only team that's like at expectation right now, which is crazy. Okay, next one.
Jerem, if BYU can just hold serve at home, there are 3 wins right there.
Yeah.
And they are heavily favored against Oklahoma State, and they'll be heavily favored against Kansas and Houston.
1 road game, and you're at 10.
There you go.
Some big news in the Big 12 yesterday. Utah finally announcing that Cam Rising isn't maybe going to play. He's out for the year with a lower leg injury, right? Isaac Wilson, of course, Zach's younger brother, will be the starting quarterback moving forward. Are you buying, selling, or holding that BYU will win at Utah on November 9th?
With a healthy Cam Rising at quarterback, I was selling that BYU was going to win in that Hornet's Nest and that emotional showdown. I didn't think BYU had a great shot to win that game. But because of what because of what has transpired,
sure.
Cam, unfortunately, and it stinks. I mean, it stinks. He is Utah's version of BYU's Taysom Hill. Like, it sucks that he had so many injuries. Granted, Taysom, I mean, he found incredible success in the NFL. So different there, yes. But in college, like, so many injuries, and you just wonder, like, what could have been? So stinks for Cam and for Utah. But because he is not the quarterback and certainly his health is not there, now I'm moving closer to buying that BYU is going to go to Salt Lake City and win there for the first time since 2006.
So long ago.
It's almost been 20 years since BYU won a game in Salt Lake City.
Yep.
I'm not quite there on the buy, so I guess technically you put me in the hold category.
Why not?
I need to see if and how Isaac Wilson performs now that he is clearly the guy. Cam Rising is done for the season. How does his mentality change? How does the Utah offense adapt? If all of a sudden they look better, if their offense could just be mediocre, their defense is good enough that they'll win a bunch of games. So can that offense produce points and be mediocre? So I'm holding on that.
Yep.
I'm getting closer to buy, though. How do you feel about it?
I'm feeling like buy now. Like, the Cam Rising thing, maybe it jumpstarts things for Utah. I don't know. Hopefully not, let's be honest. But yeah, BYU hasn't won there in forever. They're feeling good. Can BYU continue to evolve as a team and force turnovers and not give it away? If they do that, that equation obviously works for everybody. But against Utah, it's really been the equation that has Utah's been awesome at it against BYU when it had a 9-game win streak. But I don't recall Utah beating BYU since 2019. Mm. So just remember that little stat. Granted, 1 game, right?
It's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years and 1 game. But I'm excited about it. I'm feeling more like buy than I am hold or sell right now. The hard not to be confident in this BYU team right now. Utah's down right now at the moment with the Cam Rising news. So we'll see what happens. But, a couple of games before then. Things can change quickly. Hopefully not for the worse. Hopefully BYU continues to get better and competes and wins in Salt Lake.
Yeah. The other thing that is concerning is Utah has a couple of opponents that they should absolutely dominate, and they can build some confidence and have some momentum. They have TCU at home this week, and then they go on the road to Houston. You win both those games, your young quarterback gets some confidence, then that game against BYU gets a little more tricky.
It's hard no matter what. Like, if BYU went in there when Utah wasn't feeling great about
stuff. It's a rivalry game.
It's a tough game no matter what. It'd be tough in Provo. Two. Let's go.
ESPN's FPI gives BYU just a 2.9% chance to end the regular season at a perfect 12-0. Are you buying, selling, or holding that BYU will have an undefeated regular season?
I don't believe BYU is going to go undefeated in the regular season. I would love it. That'd be awesome. We'd all love it. This is BYU Sports Nation. That'd be great. Percentages certainly don't tip that way. They never will, right? It's hard for anyone.
Sure.
Ask Alabama, Georgia, everybody. Texas right now feels like they could go undefeated. They could very well lose to Georgia this week. I'm selling that. How about 5-1, 11-1 regular season, getting the Big 12 title game? That would be amazing. You don't have to go undefeated in the regular season to make the playoff. We'll explore that in a moment more. I am selling this idea. Only one BYU team with all the great BYU teams has ever done this. It was a much easier schedule than this one. BYU's in the Big 12 in a Power 4 conference. If BYU goes 10-2, to me, that's up there with the greatest seasons in BYU history.
And they still have a shot to get in the Big 12 title game if they go 10-2.
Tiebreakers, perhaps. We'll see how it all shakes out. But this BYU team is showing that it is one of the best all-time BYU teams. We'll see where they end up. You could be on the outside of the top 10 if you kind of mail it in the last six here and you go 3-3, you're 9-3. That's pretty good, but it's not an all-time team. If you go 10-2 plus, now we got to situate you somewhere because the strength of schedule has been tougher wire to wire than any other BYU team has ever played.
Yeah, I am a sell here. Now, if BYU, hypothetically speaking, beats Oklahoma State, they break the two time zone curse and play well at UCF and win on the East Coast, and they're 8-0
there. We do have a 2-game win streak in Florida, just saying.
True. Yeah. And then somehow piece together their first win in Salt Lake City against Utah.
Now undefeated.
At 9-0, then I'm like, okay, maybe I'm buying an undefeated regular season.
Yes. With six to go, we're only halfway through, Smith. Like, we're still in the middle of this.
The line literally for me to buy that idea is 9-0. If BYU got to 9-0, then I'm buying that they will figure out a way to win the last three games.
Because Arizona State's the interesting one.
Yes, right, that one's tricky.
Yes, that one's tricky. Cam Scadaboo is a dog. Like,
without question.
This guy's fun to watch. But that'll be an interesting one late in the season. Thanksgiving weekend, question mark?
I need a few more wins, specifically the one in Salt Lake City, to really buy in on that idea. So I'm sell there right now.
Yeah.
BYU gets to 8-0, then we're in the hold category. It's like, okay, let's see what happens against Utah. But, yeah, I'm sell for the moment. I think that's okay. I don't want to put that type of pressure on BYU.
I don't expect to win every – like, yes, but that – like, I believe BYU will compete and or be in and or win every game.
Football is such a delicate, fickle sport.
What if BYU doesn't – what if BYU is -2 in turnover margin? I don't expect him to win that game typically.
Yeah, what if the bounces don't go BYU's way? Tip passes.
Jacob Robinson doesn't tip that off. Tip that to himself. Harrison Taggart.
No, Cole Wakely doesn't make the pick against Baylor.
Right? Tanner, they could have gone down and scored. And very easily, you need like Kyle Murrell flying over at the goal line to save an undefeated season.
You need a measure of luck.
Luck, craziness. Yeah. You got to stay healthy, all these things, right? BYU hasn't it. Running back still 6-0. So, okay, next one. BYU currently second best odds to win the Big 12 championship. Isn't that wild? That's awesome. I guess not at 6-0. It makes sense. Yeah. Are you buying, selling, holding that BYU will make the Big 12 championship game?
I'm buying this right now.
I like it.
I believe that 10-2 will get BYU into the title game because they
AKA
have a win.
7-2 in league.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they go 7-2, I think that a tiebreaker scenario because they have a win against Kansas State would benefit them.
Yes. Kansas State looks like a team that very well could be in there.
And it would push BYU into the Big 12 championship game. So
yes.
I'm buying. I honestly was like incredulous at the thought as I was driving in today. Like, am I really buying BYU is going to be in the Big 12 championship game? They're going to be in Dallas?
I don't even care what's real or not because it's real and it's spectacular that BYU's actually in the mix for this. Like, I know it's early, Spence. It's 3-0 in league right now. You still have six conference games left. You're only a third of the way through. But the way BYU's playing, this is different than 5-2 last year. It's very different. BYU has a good enough run game, getting better, got better last week, got healthier after the bye week. The defense is awesome. Special teams are spectacular. This BYU offense is taking advantage of takeaways, 52-3, as we talked about yesterday, and points off turnovers. Yeah, 52 is good.
I thought it was 55-3, and they were 52. Plus 52. Oh, okay, so 52-3.
Yeah.
Still.
Amazing. Either way, whatever.
11-1.
The way BYU's playing.
11-1 is a real possibility too.
It really is. And if 10-2 happens, yeah, you are in the mix. I'm interested to see because the Big 12 is the land of very good, no great teams. There's very good and very and good teams, not a ton of bad teams, right? What the Big 12 looks like at the end. If BYU can somehow go 5-1, be 11-1 overall, they are in the Big 12 title game.
Yes.
Like, I guarantee that.
Yep.
There's not going to be, to me, there's not going to be an undefeated team at the end, probably. But that if you go 8-1 in league, you'll be in. I doubt that there will be 3 8-1 teams. I just don't see it. I think there's too much parity.
Yeah. Too many teams that are too competitive. And Texas Tech and Iowa State play each other.
Yes. I wish that BYU had a game with Iowa State this year.
It would be fantastic.
That would have
been. They might.
They still might.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to our final one here, Jerem. Right now. Okay. This is fun.
This is what this is.
Five different notable college football writers and publications have BYU projected to make the college football playoff.
We'll take it.
As either the Big 12 champ, or there are a few that have BYU making it as an at-large team.
I'm not sure an at-large is really going to be there. We'll see. If BYU's 11-1 and they go to the Big 12 title game and lose,
maybe
they'll be in the mix.
Yes.
But it really hurt to be just out on that.
To be the 12th team or the 13th team.
BYU was just out in 2020. Granted, unique year. And that was hard. That was hard.
Are you buying, selling, or holding that BYU will make the college football playoff?
I refer to the New Year's Six, not the playoffs, sorry, in 2020. I'm hold on that because that's even another level. To make the playoff, you probably need to win the Big 12. I would say the chances are higher, obviously, to that it's a one-bid league than it's a two-bid league right now. Just because you don't have, like, a great team that – you remember when TCU made the college football playoff? They were undefeated when they got to the Big 12 title game, lost in OT, made the playoff. Like, they had to be amazing in the regular season, lost, and still got in. It's a 12-team playoff, so there are more spots, but the SEC and Big Ten are probably going to get 3 or 4 each. It's going to be hard to get a second non-Big Ten SEC team in there. So BYU probably needs to win the Big 12 championship game. So we're talking about getting there and winning to make the playoff. Chances are low, but definitely possible right now.
If BYU wants to get in as an at-large, 11-1 regular season feels like it has to happen.
Minimum.
It has to happen.
Minimum.
I mean, you go 10-2 and you get in the championship game, then you got
to
win
it. You have to win
it. Then you got to win it.
Yes.
So if you do, then you're in at 11-2 anyway.
And if you
as
win,
the auto bid.
You're going to be a top 4 seed.
Wild.
You're going to get a bye.
Wild.
Okay, if you're an at-large, now you're probably going on the road to play at SEC number 2, Big Ten number 2, right? So we're talking about Oregon, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia kind of game.
Take this number for what it's worth.
Yep.
ESPN's Football Power Index actually gives BYU a better chance to make the college football playoff than they give the Cougars to win the Big 12. 33.3% chance to make the playoff right now.
That's higher than I would think. So they're thinking at large is possible.
Yeah, the FBI has been the metric that has been the least favorable to BYU. I mean, they take into consideration still some things from last year, and it's kind of a weird metric.
Yeah. But I wish it was just outcomes from this year, not preseason.
Yes. Yeah. Still a 33% chance right now to make the playoff.
That's higher than I thought. I hadn't seen that number, honestly. I didn't look at that part.
Wow. 11-1 regular season.
Come on.
Hey, in fact, it's 33.7. Sorry, I said 33.3.
I just went up 0.4% in the last 10 seconds.
Rounded up to 34%, Jim.
Wow.
Rounded up. Okay.
How'd that change so quick?
If you were wondering who these five pundits are that are putting BYU in the college football playoff, ESPN's Kyle Bonagura has BYU as a 9 seed playing at number 8 Alabama in a first round game.
Ryan Williams, we're coming for you.
BYU at Bama. Can you even fathom?
Walk through the other ones. They're fun.
ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh has BYU as the 4 seed, the auto bid, taking on number 5 Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl.
That'd be awesome.
Okay.
Be
CBS great. Sports, BYU again, number 9 seed at number 8 Penn State in a first round game. 24/7.
That's a game BYU could win, by the way.
24/7 Sports. Yes, I think Penn State's a little bit of a paper
They're
tiger.
Overrated.
Good, but not as good as.
Very good.
Right?
Almost great.
24/7 Sports has BYU in the college football playoff quarterfinals in the Fiesta Bowl against number 5 Oregon.
Dylan Gabriel.
Hey, do we want the smoke from Gabriel again?
1-0 in the bowl game, and then last year got knocked out of the Oklahoma game. BYU won that.
Yes.
I would like a third game with Dylan Gabriel.
For sure.
With a third team.
And our friend Brett McMurphy has BYU as an 11 seed playing at number 6 Georgia.
Now there's some heck to pay for 1982. Steve Young, right? You know, that would be a fun storyline there too. Yeah.
Look at, think about those opponents.
Can you imagine BYU
Georgia,
actually doing this?
Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama. Which one do you want?
I want all the smoke. Let's go. Can you imagine this actually happening?
Like kind
those
of?
Blue goggles are big enough. In fact, let's just remind people how big these blue goggles are. Like this is, I mean, BYU 6-0. It's all possible.
So I think those blue goggles are appropriate size because BYU 6-0.
It's yeah. We're all dreaming. We're all thinking big, right? Like look at these bad boys.
Those are an appropriate size because they've won 6 games already.
This is playing at Georgia in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Level size. Awesome. Hopefully, you know what? Maybe these need to be a permanent fixture right here.
Until BYU loses.
Until BYU loses. We just keep them up there, you know? So, a symbol of how we're all feeling, which is
very
exciting.
Well, they are a permanent
exciting.
Fixture on the set to a degree.
Well, I mean, I want them to see them
center?
More prominently.
You want them front and center?
Yeah, okay. If I could wear them, I would.
Our question of the day. Are you buying BYU as a college football playoff contender?
Woo!
We just told you the 5 national pundits that are. They're in on it right now.
Tomorrow we'll look more at hey, it's halfway through the season. Like, what is BYU projected to do? Not just in this stuff, but statistically, what's going on? What are they? Is that going to be sustainable? All that stuff.
You know what's helping BYU so much right now? Strength of resume. Win against SMU on the road and beating Kansas State. Those two teams continue to win. Then BYU's at-large chances get a real boost.
Strength of record is number 3 in the country. It was number 1 last week.
That's why they're all in.
Now it's number
3. That's why they have BYU in, even as an at-large.
Yep.
All right, at JFloyd314 on X answers, I buy BYU as a contender, yes. The defense looks legit. The offense is getting more consistent.
Amen.
And the rest of the schedule is nothing but winnable games.
Okay, then.
BYU doesn't play another team the rest of the season that looks on their level. Now it's about winning a week at a time.
Yeah.
I think there are some teams on BYU's level.
For sure.
Right? I'm not ready
BYU
to say
looks
that BYU's
better than them, but I'm not here to say – just UCF, Utah, Arizona State, you're going down for sure. It's like, those would be tough
games. Some challenges.
Kansas will be a tough game.
Kansas is weird.
Kansas is weird. They should have 3 or 4 wins.
They're weird.
Yeah.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
You thought we were weird? How about Kansas?
That team has been weird.
If you missed any of yesterday's episode of Coordinator's Corner, you can watch it anytime on demand on the free BYU TV app.
Up next, I go one-on-one with BYU safety Tanner Wall, who just had his first career interception, and it changed the game. What does he think about the defense and how they can improve? And he breaks down the matchup with Oklahoma State. This is BYU Sports Nation.
He throws. Intercepted at the goal line. Wow. Tanner Wall, what a catch.
This BYU defense is the greatest thing about this team right now.
Tanner Wall makes the stop.
Oh, there's another prominent Tanner playing football for BYU, Jerem.
Tyler Magnum Wall.
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan.
Do you remember the greatest game ever?
I remember. I was hoping you'd go there.
Bo Tanner. It was Bo Tanner or Bo Tanner.
And we had to guess which one it was.
Bo Hodge, Tanner Mangum, or the player named Bo Tanner.
Yes.
That was my favorite thing.
It might have actually been a low point in the show.
It never got worse in that moment.
I kid. You know who's having plenty of high points? Tanner Wall.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only listed clear starter on the depth chart in Jay Hill's safeties room. He is the guy right now, and the guy made a game-changing play in BYU's win against Arizona. I had an opportunity to speak with him yesterday about that interception and how to not buy into the rat poison. This is Tanner Wall, one-on-one on BYU Sports Nation.
Tanner, here we sit halfway through the season, BYU 6-0. You're ranked 13th in the latest national poll, staring down Oklahoma State on a Friday night. But just out of curiosity, if you had to give yourself and your team a midseason grade, what would that look like right now?
A midseason grade for our team, you know, I'd say somewhere in a B+ range, right around there. You know, I think we've, you know, being 6-0, winning games is hard. You know, you have to celebrate winning, whatever it looks like. But we all know that we are capable of playing better football, right? On all three phases. You can't ever expect to play perfect, but you can strive to, right? And so, you know, each game in the season, we hope to build on what we've already put out on the field and be better. So I think, you know, we're definitely happy with the result of how we've played, right, in these first six games, but we expect to be even better and more dominant through the back half of the season.
What would it take to get to an A? Like, which self-critiques and criticisms would you have to rectify for you to feel like, okay, we are playing an A level of football?
I think there's a number of things that we could clean up. You know, we have, you know, goals across all three phases, you know, that we focus on as kind of metrics for our performance. Obviously, our identity as BYU, something that we focus on a lot, is taking care of the ball. And, you know, Coach Kalani always says our ball security can always be better. You know, it's never something that is ever too good, right? You can always have better ball security, you know, so we always want to keep the ball in our hands, you know, never give it away. And, you know, that's been something that's come up a few times throughout the front end of the season. Defensively, you know, obviously we want to continue to shut down the run game and, you know, limit points that opposing offenses are scoring. So continuing to find ways to get off the field, especially on third down. Third down's an area of focus for us where I think we can still be a lot better. And then on special teams, you know, every week there's a couple things that we could improve upon, right? Whether it's average starting field position or our net punt, you know, there's still ways that we can find a way to improve and to be better. So, but I would say, you know, across those three phases, those would be the things I would say that would help us get to that A grade range.
Tanner Wall is with us on BYU Sports Nation. He is a starting safety for a very solid BYU defense. Tanner, I know you're hard on yourself. So looking back on the Saturday game, I'm guessing I know what your favorite play of the game was on your closing speed interception to get BYU the ball back at the half-yard line. But where are you most critical of yourself in the performance against Arizona?
I would say, you know, on the first drive, we didn't play with great poise. I think we got out of whack a little bit and, you know, we're making some checks and taking blitzes off that we shouldn't have been. And so that's kind of on us as the safeties, you know, really calling the shots there. So focusing on that and understanding what we're going to see and reacting to that, I feel like it could have been better. You know, obviously, McMillan's a great receiver. I think, you know, we had a goal for a certain number of yards that we wanted to hold him to. And, you know, he was a little bit over that number. So, you know, there's, you know, a couple plays where we could have played better. You know, there was a play early in the first half where he kind of got open going deep across the field. And I feel like I definitely could have played that better, played with more depth on that play. But yeah, that's what comes to mind.
Now, I asked that question just so people understand the level of analysis that you are looking at all of this with, because it is next level with your defensive coordinator, Jay Hill, and he works with your safeties group. So let's go ahead and stay with the group. What has allowed the safeties to play at such a high level and enjoy so much success to this point this season?
I would say it's a combination of our preparation through film and just our care factor, right? Obviously, being around Coach Hill in such close proximity every day, preparing for games, you know, he demands excellence and is not gonna, you know, strive for anything less than that. So we know that that's the standard and the expectation. And so we all hold ourselves to, you know, to that standard and try to play to a level that matches that, right? And, you know, we watch a lot of film. And watching film with Coach Hill and even Coach Fowler, like, it's a great opportunity to prepare for those games, right? Because if you're prepared mentally, you know, by the time you get to the game, you're just able to play loose and play fast, which is, I think, really what we've been able to do, right? And just react to what we see and play with a lot of confidence. So our preparation is top level.
Well, it's showing out, that is for sure. And I now want to go back to your interception, which in my opinion really gave BYU that initial sway of momentum that you took, and then you never looked back. So, I mean, look, you've got to make up a lot of ground. And if you don't get there, that might be a touchdown pass. So what were you seeing on that play?
Right. Well, pre-snap, I made solid eye contact with Fifita. I was shaded to over to McMillan's side, right? And I could see that he was really focusing on where I was going to be. So I kind of just kept moving to mess with him, but then took that away early in the play. So he, you know, took his eyes off to his other receivers and then tight end. And so once he kind of took his eyes to the other side, I knew that he wouldn't come back to McMillan. So I just kind of took off running. And then, you know, big props to young freshman D lineman, right? Vil Puha, who had an absolutely awesome play there, right? Great pressure, great hit on the quarterback right in his face. I think probably took a little bit of zip off that ball, because I know, you know, Fifita's got a strong arm. And so was just trusted my read going back to the field there, and was able to go make that catch and get a foot or maybe two down. People have been telling me, I think I got two down. So, but yeah, that was an exciting play. And to see the offense, you know, drive down 99.5 yards to go score a touchdown, like, that's demoralizing, you know. That was a huge momentum shift in that game. So I was grateful to be a part of that.
I was just going to ask you about the 99.5 yards. You're just doing those guys a favor, right? To help out in the total yards category.
Just building the stats, you know. Now that, you know, Bretzloff came up to me, he's like, you just want us to drive 99 yards down the field, right? I'm like, yeah, you got that one under your belt, you know. So anytime you guys are backed up now, you're like, you know what? We drove the ball 99.5 yards on Arizona, so we can do it again.
Tanner Wall is on BYU Sports Nation. Now you turn your attention to Oklahoma State, and I'm sure that you're already well into the film study of the Cowboys. So what is it that they bring to Provo, Utah on Friday night that has your attention the most?
You know, I think just from a general perspective, they're an awesome team, right? They're coached extremely well, right, by one of the best and most tenured coaches in college football, who's always going to come out and you know, give you a tough performance. Obviously, they have Ollie Gordon, who is one of the best running backs in college football. You know, I don't know if some of his stats or performance thus far this season reflects that, but, you know, we've seen that from him in the past. So we know that is, you know, his ceiling, right? He's able to be one of those game-changing players. And so, you know, we expect them to come out and play us very tough. And, you know, kind of a get back game for us, right? Obviously losing on the road down there in double overtime was kind of a heartbreaker to end the season last year. So we're focused on coming out and getting this win.
Great stuff. We appreciate the insight and a look into the current state of BYU football, Tanner. B plus grade. We look forward to getting to that A range as we push forward, man.
Yeah. You know, some professors, they might curve that. It might be in the A minus range, you know, but that's all right.
We always like grading on a curve, that's for sure. Yes, Tanner Wall, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks, Spencer. It was great to be with you. Appreciate it.
Always well-spoken and ultra-prepared. That Insightful. Dude, easy to root for. Great to see him have success.
He was a wide receiver 2 years ago. And now he's fantastic safety.
He's got a pretty decent golf game, too.
He can do it. What can't this guy do? After further review is tonight at 7 Eastern time as the boys break down the win against Arizona. Look ahead to Oklahoma State. You can catch it at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Headlines on the way, including some verbal gems from head coaches Kalani Sitake and Mike Gundy on Friday's showdown. And BYU women's soccer does something they haven't done all season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is the blue goggle donning Jerome Jordan.
Every week is awesome. Right now, it's great.
Let's get to today's headlines.
Number 13, football for Brigham Young prepares. Friday night's game against Oklahoma State. Yesterday, Kalani Sitake spoke about how last year's game against Oklahoma State has helped motivate this team this year.
that was a sour taste and a sore spot for us. And so this is a chance for us to try to make things right. And not really worried about the revenge factor as much as I just want our guys to play really, really good, clean football, play at our best.
I'm concerned about it. Let's go. BYU currently a 9.5-point favorite, big favorite at home over the Cowboys. Pre-game coverage begins Friday. Extended coverage, 8 Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
That mental edge is the revenge game. Let's lean into it.
Yep.
Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy also spoke to the media about what specifically stands out to him surrounding the 13th-ranked Cougars.
They've got a good team. They're mature. They're playing with confidence. Quarterback's playing really good at this time. And they're getting good pass rush. They get good pressure on the quarterback with four-man rush.
How about that statement?
That's validating, right?
BYU gets good pressure on the quarterback with a four-man pass rush. When was the last time you heard that statement? Especially from a notable coach. Great stuff. Gundy also said the team has not decided on who will start for the Cowboys at quarterback. It's either Garrett Rangel or Alan Bowman. But we'll make that decision by the end of Thursday's practice.
Yeah, we'll see who it is. Women's soccer picked up its first road win of the season last night. 1-0 road win at Kansas State. Erin Bailey scored the lone goal for the Cougars, her fourth of the year. Three straight games with a goal.
EB7.
Very nice. With the win, BYU 6-5-4 on the season. 4-2-2 in the Big 12. Guess what? Good enough for 14 points. That's a tie for fifth.
Pretty good.
It felt like it went nuclear with this team for a minute. No. Top five in the league right now. Pressing for an NCAA tournament bid here.
You watch out. A year or two from now, this core back, they're going to be scary good again.
I'm feeling that way about volleyball. Still a good team, top 25, but growing immensely.
Speaking of, women's volleyball drops one spot to number 24 in the latest AVCA poll. After a 1-1 week, they beat Baylor, who was 18th, in straight sets, then lost in five sets to number 17 TCU. Another big week approaches with a road game at Iowa State and Utah.
Women's golf, third place after the first two rounds at the Dale McNamara Invitational in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Cougars' Naji Aramkul is in fourth place overall, shooting 2-under. She's four shots off the lead, entering the final round of play.
Daniel Schneeman made his first Major League Baseball postseason appearance in his career last night for the Guardians in a 5-2 loss in Game 1 of the American League Championship Series. Schneeman, a defensive replacement in right field, struck out in his one at bat, Game 2 tonight. Now, I know he struck out, but how cool is it that BYU has a guy back in the MLB playoffs? He's the first BYU player to make a postseason appearance since Jeremy Guthrie pitched in Game 7 of the 2014 World Series for the Kansas City Royals. It's
pretty
been a
cool.
Decade.
It's been a decade.
The boy Daniel, after the break, our guy D-Nix, David Nix, and former BYU and NFL linebacker joins us. Is he buying BYU as a potential college football playoff team? And what is the strength specifically of this BYU defense? Maybe it's that four-man pass rush. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B and have moved the show over to the Cougar
Council.
Dave,
get your foot out of the shot. Get your, right your foot's in the shot.
David
dude.
Nixon is our guest, and Jeremy can do whatever he wants with his
yes,
shoes.
Yes, he can.
Because he is our guest.
Yes, he can.
And an elite one. D. Nix, welcome back. It's been a while.
It feels cozy. That's why I feel like I can kind of
relax.
I got my buddy Cosmo here.
Unbelievable performance Saturday, by the way. On Big Noon Kickoff.
Yes, yes. He was at all places. I mean, this guy's got stamina beyond belief. I mean, he does Big New Kickoff, then he goes to the game.
And then he's at the volleyball match?
I'm telling you. I mean, it's crazy what one guy can do.
What one wink, wink guy can do.
Okay. He is unmatched. He is unmatched.
They are unmatched.
All right, we played a game of buy, sell, or hold early in the show today. So we're just going to have you answer the same questions. Straight up, BYU, 10 wins this season. 10 wins in the regular season, not including potential bowl game, just 10
well,
regular season
Well, the Big 12
wins.
Championship game, and you got the couple of college football games.
Third round of playoffs.
Oh, gosh. Are you buying it?
I'll buy it. But here's the thing. This is something that I've been thinking about a lot about lately. I think I've talked to a lot of Cougar fans. I think we're all kind of in the same boat right now. It's tough for us to enjoy what this BYU team is doing right
but
now.
But we should!
It's tough to enjoy because you look at what happened last year with five straight losses, and you know that's potentially in the works. Listen, this team, it's potentially because it happened, right? It's history.
You with think that a said, five-game losing streak is possible this year?
I mean, anything's possible. But do I think it's going to happen? No. This squad is built completely different than last year's squad.
Yes.
With a ton of offseason additions, mainly TJ Woods, the offensive line coach, which I think is underrated as far as what he has done to this offensive line.
Watch what Bruce Mitchell did as a reserve center.
Watch what Bruce Mitchell continue to watch what Caleb has done, Etienne on the tackle position. I mean, these guys are performing at an elite level. They kept Jake Retzlaff completely clean. No sacks this past week. Allowed him, gave him the time to throw the rock. Kept him clean so he didn't create turnovers. We know that when Jake gets hurried, he tends to rush his decisions and makes bad decisions and turns the ball over. No turnovers offensively for Jake. Obviously, one fumble by Hinkley, but the defense created four turnovers. And so BYU plus three, I mean, they're just clicking on all cylinders right now. And so when you talk about 10 wins, yes, I think it's very plausible. But are fans still like a little reserved and a little cautious and committing to that? Of course.
Totally.
And I get why.
PTSD.
But it's a little frustrating because you want to enjoy this. And so my message to all Cougar fans is just enjoy this.
Amen.
Enjoy the
13th. Said.
Yeah, enjoy the 13th ranking that BYU has right now. Like, that's amazing. You're top 15, right? There's so many things to enjoy. Yes, BYU will probably lose. Like, when I say probably, most likely, it's extremely hard to run the table. And so to your point, 10 and 2, ends up, there's two losses somewhere in there. So just know that, accept that, and move on with it. And that's in the stage I'm at. Of course, you want to go undefeated. You want to be Utah, right? You have a whole bunch of goals in ahead of you. But know that BYU's going to slip up. It's going to happen. They're going to probably be negative in the turnover margin in one of these games and slip up and not perform up to the standard. And that's okay. And what's also okay with that is the fact that in the Big 12, you can afford to lose a game. Maybe two. Hopefully just one.
Still be in the title game.
Yeah, especially this year. And so... Yes. Just accept it and enjoy it. That's my message.
Jaren, what's the key to happiness?
Managing expectations.
Indeed it
is. We've talked about that. What role does 2008 have to do with this, David?
Oh, man.
Your team was 2008, 6-0.
And very good as well.
My senior year, I remember being a captain, and we were riding high. And keep in mind, we were smoking teams, but there were bad teams.
Number 8 in the country.
That was the difference. We were facing Washington team, who at the time we thought was going to be really good with Jake Locker at the helm. They end up being winless that season. We faced UCLA at home, 59-0. They ended up firing their coach, and they were struggling too. Yeah, I mean, 4-8. So, yes, similar records, but very different in the opponents. I think that's what BYU, this BYU team this year, has been battle-tested. I mean, you've beaten some really good teams that have gone on to look at SMU and Kansas State, haven't lost.
10-0. When they haven't played BYU.
Yeah. I mean, haven't lost. And so BYU's beating good opponents. I would say we were beating what we thought were good opponents, but ended up being bad opponents.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the end of the season, SMU and Kansas State will have very special seasons with maybe just two losses for themselves as well. And so for me, that's what boosts my confidence with this team is it's not fool's gold. They're beating solid teams. They're gaining the experience they need. And they're doing it in a dominating fashion. I mean, they're beating the spread. I mean, they're beating what experts think that BYU should achieve. They're smashing it. Not only beating it, they're smashing it. And so, for me, that's the most exciting part about this defense. This team is all three phases. We've seen special teams returning punts, kickoffs for touchdowns. Right? They're competing all three phases and dominating all three phases, to where, you know, if all of a sudden defense has a rough game, offense has shown that they can carry the load. They can put up points and vice versa. And so. That's the exciting part. Different from my 6-0 start in the sense that
there were no T-shirts made claiming perfection, whether that was off the field intended or not.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation for another day. Quest for perfection.
Raise your hand at home if you still have a Quest for Perfection shirt.
Yeah, there's quite a few. But yeah, it's just a different vibe. And yeah, we were clicking all cylinders as well, but we were being bad teams. This team is being good teams, and once again, that there's no false sense there. I think these guys are ready to continue to roll for the second half of the season.
I currently have a T-shirt in production that just says simply 4.5 wins. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. I will break it out at some point when I get it.
I mean, I remember sitting in these chairs back in August, and we talked about this. And I remember people thought we were crazy for going down the schedule and thinking 8-4. I was like, listen, 8-4 is plausible with the returning production that BYU had, and with the stars they added in the offseason with the transfers in with Jack Kelly, et cetera. I thought this team it was very plausible to get to 8 wins, and people
now
thought
that
we were
would
crazy.
Stink.
Yeah, now that'd be a rough season. I also remember having the same conversation last year.
You said 8.
I jumped on the bandwagon, so let it be known. Go back and watch the show. But once again, I think people are a little reserved because I remember having the same conversation last year. I distinctly remember when BYU's 5-0. 5-2. They said we said, okay, so should expectations be reset? Like, what's the new expectations? People were like, oh yeah, 8-9 wins, 10 wins. And they lost 5-2.
Felt fair at the time.
Yeah. So it's managing and tempering those expectations, but also at the same time enjoying where BYU's at right now.
Okay, now there's this. There are five different respected national pundits, two from ESPN, one from 24/7 Sports, our guy Brett McMurphy, that all have BYU in the college football playoff right now. A few of them have BYU as the auto bid, winning the Big 12 championship game. They're the at-large, and at-large, I should say, in three of the others, which is something.
Yeah.
Are you buying what the national prognosticators are putting down right now?
Listen, you have to buy it. You have to buy it. BYU's proven that they can hang, and they can compete, and they deserve and they belong in the playoff if they continue to perform the way they're performing. And, guys, I mean, the client's not mentioning this to the team, but you look at the remaining schedule, and they're even UCF struggling now. UCF, at the beginning of the season, looked dynamite.
Three losses in a row.
Three straight losses, right? I mean, you look at Oklahoma State, preseason top 25. They're struggling. That's an interesting game this Friday. Very interesting. BYU's future opponents aren't looking like world beaters. Utah. I mean, Utah came in, you know, top 15 for weeks. All of a sudden, Cam Rising out. Isaac Wilson.
Unranked.
You know, yeah, I mean, that team comes off a loss. So it's like that. The back half of this schedule, Kansas, once again, you looked at the back half of the preseason, Kansas, oh, my gosh, world beaters. They've struggled this season. So that back half doesn't look as daunting as it used to. And so when you look at BYU 6-0, they face probably the toughest teams in Kansas State and maybe Arizona in this first half. Second half, you know, if they continue to perform, then of course you're in the playoff picture, right? And anything can happen once you get in the playoffs, as we know. You can upset and make runs and be on, beyond the same page, and next thing you know, you create something special. But I have to buy, until BYU proves me wrong, you have to buy the scenario where you go to the playoff. I don't know why you'd sell that one.
Someone asked me, Spencer, would you take it if BYU made the college football playoff, but they were the 12 seed and they went to Ohio State and got blown out? And I was like, a million percent I would take that.
This is the same discussion people have with basketball. Would you rather go to the NCAA tournament and get knocked down the first round, or go to the NIT and make a run? And it's like, we go to the tournament every time.
Oh, yes. Are you kidding me? Make the playoff?
No one cares.
Nobody cares. And frankly, it'll be interesting to see how it all feels this year with the bowl games, because with a 12-team playoff, it'll be interesting to see if the bowls become even more diminished, right? The other bowls, if you don't make the playoff.
Like if BYU goes to the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, how that feels. Because I think once again, all the attention will still be on the playoff, more so than it has been in the past.
Sure.
The past is only two games, right? Three games total, but two games in the first round. Now this will have so much more attention getting ready for all those games that these bowl games might not get near the attention that they would normally. So it'll be interesting. So even more reason BYU needs to try to aspire and make that playoff.
If you want more David Nixon, easy.
I do. Watch after further review. I want more.
Watch after further review.
I will say this. These shows have been a blast. We love recapping
the
wins. We joke, too, that I remember days of having to recap Liberty losses and UMass losses. This is fun.
I actually erased mentally anything pre-Big 12, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's what makes this special.
I was told you won a Heisman and won a national title. That's awesome. Yeah.
If it took losing to UMass at home to get here, fine!
Listen, fans, we're having a blast. Come join us on the show. Yep. We recap all the great plays. There's some bad plays in there. We'll talk about why they didn't work. But all in all, right now, there's a lot of good plays to show because that's what this BYU team is doing. They're executing at a very high level. And it's been fun to watch. And showing with the results. I mean, they're dominating right now.
7 Eastern, after further review, David Nixon and company.
And then if that's not enough, 8:30 Eastern, BYU football with Kalani Sitake tonight. Your boy Hinkley Ropati in the house on the show. Check it out on the BYU TV app.
Are you buying BYU as a college football playoff team?
Eric.
You'll answer it after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Are you buying BYU as a college football playoff contender? At SBS Bennett on X says, not quite there yet. The team has improved from week to week in the offense. Give me a few more wins and a more dominant run game, and I might be there.
I understand it. Yeah, BYU's very good. Are they playoff content? Right? Yeah, keep it going. Very well could be. We'll see.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at KDG30, who also answers on X. When you're 6-0, you are a contender to make the college football playoff.
Okay.
Will they, though? Yet to be seen. But yes, a contender as of today.
Yeah, it's safe to say they're a contender. You're undefeated. Top 15. Yeah.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Taysom Hill invited a fan named Joe Dimio to yesterday's Sunday's game. Gave him a bag full of Saints swag. Taysom's his favorite player. He's the first person ever to survive a full face and bilateral hand transplant following a car accident. Third-degree burns to 80% of his body. Great move by Taysom to invite Joe and for Joe to be at the game. That's awesome.
I love Taysom. I love this so much. So happy that Joe got to do this New Orleans. Taysom is elite in every way.
Great human being.
Incredible. Our thanks to today's guest, BYU safety Tanner Wall, and one of the linebacker greats for the Cougars, David Nixon.
Sorry to Dennis Pitter. We ran out of time.
Hello, Jerem.
Hello, Dennis.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Hey. Shout out to Dennis Pitta once again. Why not? Go Cougs.
Boo!
Whether you're playing